So the reading this morning is from Luke chapter 24, verses 36 through to the end, and that can be found on page 1062 in your church Bibles. Jesus appears to the disciples. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled, and why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, "This is what I have told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." When he had led them out of the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they stayed continually at the temple, praising God. Amen.
It's a real pleasure to be able to welcome Christian, who's our visiting speaker this morning. Christian is a student at the Oxford Centre of Christian Apologetics, and we've been blessed as a church by several now guest students from OCA. So it's great to have you with us, Christian. Can I pray for you and for us before you preach to us? Father God, thank you for your word. Thank you that you've revealed yourself to us in scripture. Lord, thank you for this sermon series we've been in over the past few months, working through the Gospel of Luke that we're concluding today. Lord, thank you for all that you've been doing in and through us in this sermon series. Lord, I pray for my brother Christian now. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've done and are doing in his life. Thank you for his time studying apologetics at OCA, Lord. Just pray now that you would anoint him by your Holy Spirit, that you would release the gifts of preaching and teaching to him, Lord. And I pray for myself and for each one of us that we would have open hearts and minds to hear your voice clearly as you speak to us through your servant Christian this morning. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Well, good morning, and thank you very much for having me. It's a great pleasure and a privilege to end your series about Luke. And as I just realized, it's quite a pretty British passage today. Cooked breakfast and maybe even fish and chips. We do not really know, at least fish. But first of all, it is a message about our risen Lord and a passage that very, very clearly tells us what the resurrection, the heart of my faith, the heart of the Christian faith really means to us personally. And I found in this passage today four aspects that I would like to talk about today, what the risen Lord actually brings us through his resurrection. First of all, the risen Lord brings peace. The risen Lord brings understanding of Scripture, assurance of salvation, and the risen Lord sends the Spirit. First of all, the risen Lord brings us peace. While they were talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." This is kind of a fulfillment of a promise Jesus made earlier. He said, "For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them." And there he is. Jesus appears and he says, "Shalom." And again, this is not British courtesy. This is more than a phrase. Here speaks the one, the only one, who can really actually bring peace. That was actually the meaning of his whole incarnation, of his whole life, to bring peace, to bring us this shalom, this deep peace with God, peace with ourselves, peace with each other. This shalom means more than just political peace. It means peace within, being whole as a person, being completely at peace. Jesus came to bring the shalom only God can bring. That's a peace that we cannot explain. No one can explain. But this is the peace we are made for. Luke, in his gospel, tells us a lot of stories about how Jesus brought this peace and about how this life in God's peace, in God's kingdom, will one day look like. But it is a peace that surpasses all understanding, a kind of peace I can't explain to you today. It's a kind of peace that only Jesus can bring you, and that's exactly what he came for. I remember some months ago, as part of my program I'm doing currently, we tried to talk with students and try to share Jesus with them. And I met this guy who was really troubled, had a lot of sorrows. He was worried about many, many things. And I shared my faith. And he kind of opened. And we met again the next day. And again the following day. And finally, he said, yes, okay, let's pray. And he invited Jesus into his life. For the first time, he prayed to Jesus, the risen Lord. And I remember very well the first words he said after we said amen. He said, Chris, I feel at peace. I feel at peace. Suddenly, like in our final chapter of Luke today, the risen Lord became real to him. The peace no one can explain became real to him. So first of all, the risen Lord brings us peace, brings us shalom. Secondly, the risen Lord brings us understanding of Scripture. He said to them, these are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the Scriptures. Just as he did shortly before, as you heard last week with the disciples on the road to Emmaus, he helps them to understand Scriptures. This is so comforting to me and so encouraging to read that even the disciples needed help while reading the Scriptures. Because the same is true for us and for me. There are so many stories, especially in the Old Testament. I'm having a hard time to understand it completely. Or sometimes it's really dark and I wonder, where is the gospel in there? Why is it so difficult? But then, through the help of Jesus, the disciples began to think of Jesus while they were reading the Old Testament. It's like finally putting on the right glasses while reading the Bible, the glasses of Jesus, the perspective of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. And then two things happen. First of all, we start to understand the Old Testament passages better in the light of Jesus. And secondly, the great miracle of Jesus' life and death and resurrection becomes clearer to us through the passages, through the vivid stories in the Old Testament. In general, the resurrection means that God is against death, against our suffering, against all evil in this world. Through his resurrection, he clearly shows this. The death is the enemy Jesus came to defeat, the enemy we read so much about in the Old Testament. So let us, for example, put on these glasses when we read the following. The first men, Adam and Eve, turned their backs on God. Sin and death entered the world. However, through the perspective of Jesus, we can understand from the very beginning, God will send someone who will liberate us from it. God speaks to the snake in the garden, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." Wasn't the heel of Jesus pierced on the cross? Did he not defeat death as he died for us? When we read the whole Bible through Jesus, we find the gospel literally everywhere. And that means the death of Jesus was no misfortune. It was not arbitrary. God never lost control over the whole story. It was his plan from the very beginning. His plan to bring peace to all of us. The resurrection proclaims God's sovereignty over everything. And this may give us hope that God will never lose control over our lives. No matter how it feels like to us, no matter how it looks like to us, even if we don't understand everything, our life always is in his saving hands. In the life of Jesus, we see that all of God's promises come true. They must come true. That's what Jesus said. Everything must be fulfilled. And that brings me to the third point. The risen Lord brings assurance of salvation. Do you know that you are redeemed? That your sins are forgiven? Do you know? Paul once writes this: "If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins." The resurrection is a part of God's rescue mission. Jesus took your sins upon himself and let them die with him. His resurrection is the confirmation that our sins, that your sins, have not triumphed. They have become untrue. Jesus wants you to be sure of that, as he wanted the disciples to be sure. He helped them by reminding them of the good reasons for their faith. In this passage, he reminds them of what was written in Moses and the prophets and the Psalms. These three categories are like a summary of the whole Old Testament. You can put your trust in that, he says. Secondly, he reminds them of the words that he himself spoke to them before his time of suffering. He said, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you." He also showed himself to them. He let himself be touched and eats with them. He shows clearly he is not a delusion. He's not a ghost, but he is physically present among them. "See my hands and my feet, that is myself. Touch me and see." Luke wants to make it really, really clear to us. There is no hallucination going on there. Hundreds of people have seen the risen Lord. Today's passage shows us that the faith of the disciple was not a blind faith. They had a foundation for their beliefs. But what about us? What about us? Well, what do we have? Well, we also have the Old Testament scriptures, of course. We can read these promises of God revealed there and put our trust in them. We also have the words of Jesus that have been handed down to us. And we have even more in the Bible today. We have the accounts about the disciples in the New Testament who have seen the risen Lord. Luke, when he finished his gospel, his biography of Jesus, he continues and writes the book of Acts and what happens after Jesus went into heaven, what the disciples did, how the church developed. We can see what happened after Jesus went to heaven. We know what happened when people obeyed Jesus and went to all the nations to proclaim the gospel of the risen Lord. In Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, in Rome and Egypt and India, Europe, finally England, and finally even Buckingham. The existence of the church, and that we all sit here today and celebrate Sunday, Resurrection Day, is evidence for Jesus' resurrection and his life. Your faith and the faith of the one sitting next to you is an evidence that Jesus rose from the dead. Not his cross, not his life, but his resurrection was the foundational belief of the first Christians that made them go out despite of suffering, despite of threats, go out and proclaim this. As Jesus said, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem." If we turn to Christ, if we turn to our risen Lord and ask him honestly for forgiveness, we can be sure of our salvation. Not because of what we have done, but because of what he did for us through his life, his death, and his resurrection. Jesus promises, "Whoever comes to me, I will never cast out." Are you sure of your salvation? Turn to Christ. Turn to Christ with an open heart, with an honest heart. He will never, ever cast out. Finally, as to summarize everything he said before, the risen Lord sends the Spirit. And it is fascinating that in the passage today, Jesus doesn't say, "I will send you the Holy Spirit." He doesn't use these words. Instead, he says, "I will send the power from on high." The power from on high. And that makes total sense, because look what happens next. Jesus, in front of their eyes, ascends into the high. It is as though he would say to them, "Look where I am going now. From there, the Spirit will come." This is to make sure the Spirit comes from me. It is me who sends it. He is part of me. Jesus earlier, speaking of the Spirit, said this, "I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." And this came true at Pentecost. The Holy Spirit, the power from on high, lives in us. The Spirit is our comforter. He reminds us of what Jesus has told us. He helps us to turn back to Jesus when we have failed. If you believe in Jesus, if you believe his words, then the Spirit does live in you. And he brings all what I've been talking about. This peace comes from the Spirit. Understanding of Scripture comes from the Spirit. This deep inner assurance of salvation, this awareness that we need to turn to Jesus every day, comes from the Spirit. The Bible says, "If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you." Finally, the promise of the risen Lord is this: "On the last day, I will wake you up and you will live with me forever." Because the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. The same power from on high. So the risen Lord brings you peace, not only once, He brings you assurance of salvation, not only once, but every day, again and again. I don't know what you think about Jesus as your Savior. It often happens to me that I think, well, I was saved once, yes. He was my Savior once. But this is not enough. This is not what he promises. He promises to be our Savior every single day. This is his essence, saving us every single day. And we need his grace and his forgiveness and his love every single day. So let's turn to him every single day with a hopeful heart and an open heart and a grateful heart. The risen Lord brings peace, understanding of Scripture, assurance of salvation. The Spirit dwells in us. And this is the wonderful message of Luke's Gospel. And this is like a summary of all the things he wanted to leave us as he wanted it to leave to his first readers. So let us turn now to Jesus as we close in prayer. Jesus, we thank you for your word and your faithfulness revealed to us on the cross. Thank you for your peace and thank you for your Spirit. We ask that you would, by your Spirit, help us to experience your peace. Please help us to live in the hope of your resurrection. And please guide us through this life and into the next. Amen.